So that I think about, and I look and I just see myself in this story. And then turn to Genesis 19, and we're not going to read the whole story here. You know the story. This is about Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed. And in verse 15, when morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife, your daughters, who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated, so the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was on him. And they brought him out and put him outside of the city. Now, this is not what my lesson's about, but that I read verse 16, and this is just a side note. This is extra. Look at the compassion of the Lord. I want you to notice that the men seized their hands. The Lord wanted them to be saved. The Lord grabbed their hands because they hesitated. And I want you to have comfort in that statement there. We should have great comfort in that statement that there was much evil, but God wanted Lot, his wife, and two daughters to be saved. But unfortunately, in verse 26, but his wife from behind him looked back and she became a pillar of salt. And to me, does this describe us today? Are we Lot's wife? Because are we looking for where God's taking us? Or are we looking back and sorrowful for what we're leaving? I think this is a question. Ask yourself that. That can be asked in many different ways. This can be asked in material, family, jobs. It can be asked in many different ways. But are we looking back, or are we letting God take us somewhere else? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, the great example and we read about this throughout the Old Testament, is in Exodus 16. You know, this is just one place. You can go to Numbers 11, but we'll just read this. Exodus 16, verses 2. And it says, "The whole congregation, the sons of Israel, grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.'" The children of Israel could not see their promised land. They could not see where God was taking them. And, you know, I remember going through this as a child, and I just thought, you know, why can't these people see this? And then I have had trials in my life, and I realize I'm just like those Israelites. Times get hard, things get tough, and I complain. And I don't look for what God's done for me. And I can see that. The Apostle Peter, 53 days prior, plus or minus a few hours maybe, prior to his sermon in Acts 2, and his bold statements there and what he saw, he denied Christ three times. It got tough. Did Peter understand what Christ was doing for him? Do we all have those moments? I think we do. We can all sit around and say, you know, and look at those moments of where we don't see and understand. Now, my transitional verse that I want to kind of take us from, that's kind of the problem statement. Why did people Why couldn't they see what God was offering? And what God was going to do for them? And the interesting thing is you know, I go back to the children of Israel. You know, imagine us today. We'd have our iPads out and our iPhones out and we'd say, okay, we only got this many miles to go. I mean, that's not very far. You know, we'd have reconnaissance of everything that was in there. And I think we'd be just like the children of Israel if we didn't encourage ourselves and look at what God could do. I don't think there's any difference in what they were dealing with and what we deal with today. We're just a little bit more sophisticated, or we think we are, anyway. But if you look at 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. We are children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is, as Christ is. And in verse 3, and everyone who has this hope, everyone that has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Notice what this verse is saying. It's not saying if we want to serve Christ, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. It says if we have this hope in our life, do we have that hope in our life? And if we do, we're going to be working to purify ourselves. We are going to let Him purify us. And so, do we have that hope? Because if you have a long journey and there's no reward at that end of that journey, are you going to make the journey? Are you really going to put your best into it? And so as Christians, we have to have that hope. And if we don't have that hope, because we look around ourselves and we see everything around us and we get caught up into that. But our hope is not here. Because whenever we fix ourselves on Christ and the hope that He gives us, then everything comes into focus. But if we don't have that, if we don't think about that every day, then it's going to be hard. I want you to think about now, and I didn't pull out any passages, but we all know the suffering that Paul went through. Remember, Paul was drug out of cities and left for dead. We see that Paul people rebelled against him. His friends sometimes turned on him, and people hurt Paul. And you have to ask, why was Paul, and I don't get a feel in the scriptures that Paul, as he got older, he kind of shrunk back into a cave. I don't see that. I see Paul still driving to spread the gospel, teach the gospel, and understand that. And so why did Paul have that? And I think we can see that in some of his writings. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Because you think about it, he got shipwrecked. He got bitten by snakes. I mean, I get stoned one time. That's going to be a pretty tough challenge. But notice what he says here in 1 Corinthians 15. Now I say to this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does perishable inherit imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must be imperishable, and this mortal must be immortality, put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Paul understood that his physical body, he understood what he could see today was not real. He could see that. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. Now think about this too. Whenever you read this passage, think about Paul's livelihood. He's using the illustration of a tent here. So just think about that was his livelihood. He made tents. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. And you think about, just think about this tent and this, how he's presenting this. But just think about a tent and how little protection we have. You know, you've seen on videos where the bear comes into the camp and there's people inside the tent, and you know, the tent's not going to hold the bear back, right? And that's what we're in today. We're in the tent. Our home is elsewhere. It's not here. This is very temporal. Are we looking for eternity? And Paul uses this analogy. Chapter 14 of John. John chapter 14. This is one of those encouraging statements. I mean, all of this should be encouraging. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. I'm in 14 verses 1 through 4. In verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. And so, in my Father's house, there's many dwellings. And I think there's many mansions. I think the King James, New King James, I think, I meant to go look that up. I think that's true, isn't it?
King James, for sure.
Yeah. It uses the mansions, but there's many dwelling places. And the whole point is, there's a place that God's preparing for me. There's a place that whenever I was saved, whenever I was baptized, I believe God started preparing a home for me. And do I have that confidence? And I should have that confidence. Romans 8, verse 17. Romans 8, verse 17 and 18. Romans 8. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us. Now, read that last verse again. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Now think about that. Man can pretty much put men through a lot of suffering. Mankind. All of us. But here, Paul's telling us it's not comparable to the glory we're going to have. And think about, we got to have the faith. We got to be thinking about that. Nothing on this world and what I'm suffering is worth even come close to what heaven is going to be like. Do we have that faith? Do we believe these passages? Are we thinking and meditating on this? Because if I don't think this, if I don't believe this, guess what? I say, well, this isn't worth it. And nothing's worth this. Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that? I have. Nothing's worth this. But Paul's telling us heaven is worth all of it. It's not even close. So what do we dwell on whenever we have problems? Are we dwelling on the problem or are we dwelling on what we get as we overcome those problems? And you see how that makes a difference of our attitude whenever we get to the problem? This life is full of problems, and that's what we see here. But this passage is so important that you understand this life's problems are here. I can't even go any higher. I didn't really mean to make that illustration, but that's pretty good. You know, we can't even imagine it because we're in a box. I'm ad-libbing now. I hadn't even thought about this one, but this very good illustration right now with the roof. We can't imagine how great heaven is going to be because He's asked us to accept that by faith. So whenever you go, so as Christians, are we looking for that reward? Or are we dwelling on this life here? And I think we all can be sympathetic. I know I am, as I've gotten older, I'm very sympathetic to the Israelites coming out of Egypt. I'm very, very sympathetic to Peter and all his failures. And I'm sympathetic to Lot's wife. Because the focus at that moment was on the problem and not on where we're going. And that makes all the difference in the world. We see that in today's world. We see that in today's world. How does corporations incentivize employees? It's called bonuses. You do this, end of the year, I'll pay you this. If you meet this target, you'll get this. Well, guess what? There's all kind of problems throughout the year. But I'm thinking, okay, if I do this. And I can't describe those problems. I can't start at the beginning of the year and start saying, okay. I've got a problem this morning. I've been on the phone with the facility five times. I've called people all over. You know, we're trying to get something out of Europe and get it here. We got major issues. But why am I doing that? Well, I hope I'm doing that first because I'm serving God and I'm doing my job. But the company says if you'll meet these targets, you'll get this. And that's what God has done for us. If we have that hope, it makes our day a lot easier. So Revelations 2:7, he who has an ear, let him hear that the Spirit says, Revelations 2:7, the Spirit says to the churches, to him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in paradise, in the paradise of God. Do we have faith that if we overcome, we're going to be there with God? Now, as we're going to go to Revelations and draw some of these pictures, but I'm absolutely confident that you and I, or, excuse me, maybe I should just put this on me. I cannot imagine heaven. But what I think heaven is that we're going to be with God. I don't think, you know, to me, this is kind of like finding somebody in a cave that's 50 years old and has never come out of that cave and all they have is a candle. And for me to try to sit up here and describe heaven, it's like me trying to describe the sun to that person that's been in a cave and all they know about light is a candle. Can you imagine trying to give that explanation? That's the way you and I are about heaven, or that's the way I am. I don't think I can imagine, I don't think I can see it. But I see the glory. I see what Paul did. I see what Peter did. I see what people in Hebrews 11 did. They had that faith that they were working for something greater, not for what they could see. And that's what we have to do. Revelations 2:10. Notice, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life. Notice, do not fear what you're about to suffer. My normal mode is, oh no, what am I going to do? And whenever you let fear in, it paralyzes you. And that's why it's so important that we have hope and we have confidence that we can get there. And that no matter what the devil throws at us, we can still get there. And that crown of life, are we focused on that crown of life? And I'll say this at the end of the lesson, I just want to say it now. Whenever you wake up in the morning, and this is one of the areas that I'm trying to train myself. Whenever I wake up in the morning, do I start thinking about heaven and what God's given me? Or do I start listing the things I got to do and the things I've got to solve that day? The latter is what I do. But do I first start thinking about my hope? Because it's going to make my day easier. That's what the scriptures are telling me. It's going to make my day easier. Because there is a crown. There is paradise with God. It's hard for us to understand this. Go to 2 Peter 3:13. So this is one description of heaven that I like, especially in the world we live in today. 2 Peter 3:13. But according to His promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What do I like about heaven? There's going to be nothing but righteousness there. I'm not going to have a news feed that feeds me all the ills of this world because they're not going to be there. Think about how many times you look over your shoulder and say, is somebody shooting at me? Figuratively, I hope. Is somebody after what I have? Heaven, we're not going to have to think that way because it's going to be filled with righteous people. It's nothing but righteousness. Revelations 22. Then he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And crystal clear. Like I said, we can't imagine this. So whenever I think of crystal clear, if any of you ever been to the Eads Tuckney, it's a crystal clear river. It's a beautiful river. But I think of this, I just think of, oh, wow. In the middle of the street, verse 2, and on the either side of the river, the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There will no longer be any curse. There's not going to be any problems. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his bondservants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of light of a lamp, nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. I'm not quite sure we understand the illustrations of light as much as people of this time would have understood this. You know, Jared has to work hard and he keeps our lights on, right? We don't go to bed and wake up in the dark and can't find something. We flip the lights on, right? But think about that darkness. Think about us not being able to see things during the night. And so having God's light, to me, just, you know, think about how dark it can be. That God is going to be there and there's never going to be any darkness. Revelations 21, verse 4, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain, and the first things have passed away. Imagine a life, no pain, no mourning. It's all glorious. Think about that. Do we focus our... that's our hope. Revelations 21:10. This is where he's showing him New Jerusalem. And he carried me away in the Spirit to the great high mountain and showed me the holy city of Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And in verse 12, it says, and he had a great... And it had a great and high wall, the 12 gates and the gates of 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sun. What is high walls and high gates tell us? It's security. We're not going to have to worry about anything. That's what heaven's going to be like. Again, Revelations 22:5, and there will no longer be any night, and they will not have any need of light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. We're not going to have death. We're not going to have any of the curses that we have today. That's our hope. We are spirit. And I actually skipped over. I realized I don't think I made this comment. Notice my statement there. Because we always say we have a spirit. We're speaking from the carnal body whenever we say that. Why don't we, as Christians, say we have a body? Notice the difference between that. One, we're speaking from a spiritual point of view. The other one, we're speaking from a physical point of view. Now, I don't think there's a big nuance, but I'm just saying, have you ever thought about, I'm a spiritual being and I have a body right now? Versus, I know I have a spirit. It's just all from the point of view you look at. And it's a neat idea to do that mental gymnastics in your head later this week. You ought to think about that. How do you describe yourself? So in summary, We need to be focused on heaven. Now, I want you to turn to Luke 10. And this is after the Lebanon Commission. He sent out the 70. And I want you to notice what the 70 came back and said. Verse 17, Luke 10, verse 17, he said, "And the 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you,'" so Christ said, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." They're so happy by what they've seen they can do. But notice what Christ says. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this." Do not rejoice in all these great things you can do. "That the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." Whenever we were baptized, our names were recorded in heaven. Do we rejoice about that? Do we think about that our God has written, you know, it's an illustration, but our God has written our name in a book? Have you thought about that our name is in heaven? That Reagan Malloy's name's in heaven? Have you thought about that? Miss Thelma's name is written in heaven? That should make us happy. Hebrews 10:34. "For you showed sympathy to prisoners and accepted joyful seizures of your property, knowing that you have for yourself a better possession and a lasting one." As Trey said last week, he's preaching a lesson to himself more than he's preaching to the congregation. This lesson is being preached more to me than you. I don't know where you are. I know where I'm at. And I know what I've got to work on. "Knowing that you have for yourself a better possession, a lasting one." So go back to the verse that I kind of thought was the pivot verse, or I put as a pivot verse, is John 3. In verse 3, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." So if we have that hope, if we see heaven, we see that we're spirits and that we have eternal life with God whenever there's not going to be any need for any sunlight or anything else. Whenever we see that, we have that hope, everything else becomes easy. So the question is, just like the people in Hebrews 11, have you thought about what trials they went through, but why did their faith get them? Because they understood where they were going. Do we understand where we're going? Do you understand where you're going? And have you meditated on that, and are you thinking about that every day? Are you getting up every morning before you start going down your list of problems and saying, "I'm headed to heaven, I'm headed to be with my God, and one of these days I'm going to get to put off this body, and I'm going to be able to be what I really am, and that is a spirit in heaven serving God"? Do you have that focus? Do you have that hope? Because whenever we have that hope, I don't think we're going to be the children of Israel in the wilderness. I don't think we're going to be them. I don't think we're going to be Lot's wife. I think we're going to see those problems, those heartaches and hurts, and we're not going to see them and focus on them, because we're going to walk through them because our eyes are going to be on heaven. So that's the lesson today. If anyone needs to obey the gospel, please come forward as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming.